Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to a start of a new year, we thank you for the Magi and the example they give to us, and also from Daniel, from whom the wise men of the East learnt so much about the coming Saviour. Help us in this year to be wise people of God. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Christmas is a time for everyone, and everyone is included in the love of God. It's lovely to hear that over 1,000 people came to church here in our parishes over Christmas. But you see, today we are few in number, and that's because Epiphany is for those who are really willing to search for Jesus, to put themselves out a bit and look for him and ask for the Holy Spirit to come with light and lead them. So here we are, the people of God here today. And so I want to look at what the wise men can tell us and how they can help us make a good start to 2020. So we've just had the reading of the New Testament account of the visit of the Magi to the house where the Holy Family had found lodgings. It doesn't mention the number of Magi, but it mentions three gifts. So we always assume there were three. But I'm sure back home there were others who hadn't been able to make the journey. These men, and I think they were all men, through their learning and reading of ancient texts, they'd recognized the sign of the star, the sign of the birth of a great ruler. And among those ancient texts were part of what we call the Old Testament. How were they part of their understanding, we ask? How were they influenced by the Old Testament? After all, they were Gentiles leading in a pagan country. But if we look back, God had sent his people, the Jews, into exile, into the lands of the East. So the people of Babylon and those great empires that followed, they had access to what God had shown to the Jews. And some of them took it very seriously. If you remember, one of the people who was in exile was called Daniel. That's Daniel of the lion's den. And I'm sure you remember that story from childhood. Well, Daniel and his three friends, when they were in exile among the heathens, they were trained to serve at the highest level. But in those conditions, they remained loyal to God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their God, the true God, and they walked in his ways. So to do that, they kept themselves fit, and they stayed free from any occult influence that must have been at that court, so that in exile they could serve the living God. Now in that court in Babylon, there were many wise people. They were called in the Bible magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers. One day the ruler Nebuchadnezzar had a very disturbing dream. Now, like all tyrants the world over, he demanded the impossible of his wise men. Not only did they have to interpret his dream, but they also had to tell him what the dream was. On their own, even with all their occult powers, the wise men of the court found it impossible to do that, and they asked for mercy. But Nebuchadnezzar said, unless they did what he asked, they would be cut in pieces and their houses turned into a heap of rubble. So Daniel, follower of God, and his friends were in a tricky position because they were considered wise men as well. So what did they do? Well, Daniel called his friends together and he urged them to plead for mercy from God concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men. And do you know the God, the great God in heaven, our God, he revealed that dream to Daniel and the interpretation. He was so merciful, and he heard their prayer. So Daniel gave thanks to God and asked for access to the king to tell him what his dream was and how it had been discovered. Well, first he said to the king, "No one can do what you ask. There's only one person who can help us, and that is our God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Only he could do what you wanted us to do. Therefore, we prayed. We prayed to him and asked for help. And he gave me the dream and the interpretation." And when the king, that pagan king, heard that, he praised the God of the Jews. He called him God of gods and Lord of lords, as we have today in our liturgy, and he promoted his servant Daniel to high office. So it was in that way that Daniel and his friends and what they wrote were taken seriously for several hundred years by the people of the East, and that is what the wise men had read. Now, you know that Daniel went on to be saved by God from the fury of the lions when those who were jealous of him manipulated circumstances to get him put into their den. And he also, if you read his book, he continued his prayer life, communicating with God and receiving revelation of God's plan. And among these writings, if you read Daniel, you'll find this. It's fairly hard to understand, but I quote it. "Know and understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in a time of trouble. After 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off and having nothing." Did you recognize the anointed one there? That was our first hymn. Hail to the Lord's anointed. It's Jesus, isn't it? So the wise men in the East, saved from death by the God of Daniel, had access to this prophecy of an anointed one, our Jesus Christ, who would be born, but also born to die. He would be cut off, it said. And all that was connected with the rebuilding of Jerusalem after the exile. So no wonder the Magi, inheritors of this tradition, went to Herod's palace in Jerusalem first. Now, Margaret Cope, the foundress of the Whitby sisters, wrote a play called The Other Wise Man. He had a heart of compassion and helped many people on his journey. He comforted and supported widows. He freed slaves and gave liberally to the poor. As a result, he did not arrive in Jerusalem until the crucifixion, and saw the completion of the work of salvation as Jesus died and rose again. So that's where we are today, in God's plan for our salvation. We are the other side of that wonderful event when Jesus conquered death and rose again. But when we look back at the time of Daniel and what happened to his friends, perhaps we can see similarities to the time in which we live. When we are God's people, we are few in number, but we are his people and the sheep of his pasture, as I read this morning. And God is looking to each of us to continue to be part of that wonderful plan. But what of that star then? How does that fit in? Well, would you believe it? It was another Gentile who was involved with that. Now, God's people, as they moved from Egypt to the Promised Land, encountered opposition. They fought successfully against two kings. However, the king of Moab, Balak, decided on a different tack. He got a man called Balaam, a Gentile, to curse the Jews in various places in his country. And when Balaam tried to do that, he found he couldn't. He just couldn't curse those whom God had blessed. And in his last speech, which he made in his last place where he was meant to be cursing but was blessing instead, he said this: I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. There's the star. No wonder they looked for a star and looked to the heavens. So the Magi then had access to these written prophecies, and probably others, and they responded by acting on what they read. As a result, they met with Jesus Christ and took the message home to their people. Meanwhile, the people in Jerusalem, we just read about, who had access to Isaiah's prophecy, knew about Bethlehem, but did nothing about it. They remained complacent, and indeed Herod the Great was gripped with fear that this child would threaten his status. Now, here we are, 2020. We have access to the prophecies about the future because Jesus Christ was a prophet, and there's many prophecies in the New Testament as well as in the Old. The question is, will we be wise and read them, seek God for more light, because the Holy Spirit gives us light and understanding? Will we ask him so that we can find grace to respond to God in prayer and action? There are a group of people in the Old Testament who did just that and are example to us. It is written, the men of Issachar understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Let's put our names there and say, the people of God in our parishes understand the times and know what Britain should do. And from Proverbs, this encouragement: has not wisdom called out? Does not understanding raise her voice? So wisdom and understanding from God will give us light, like a star, as we go forward in our Christian walk. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave a few commands. For example, go into all the world and do this in remembrance of me. The one suggested to us by the Magi from the East is watch and pray. In the final section then, let's consider how we can do that at the start of a new decade. First and foremost, let us, like the Magi, have great respect for the Word of God. As the old collect says, let us read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest what is written in the Bible. Let us stand in awe of God, remembering the words of Proverbs: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Like the wise men at the court of Nebuchadnezzar, we may need to admit that there is a greater power than the wisdom of the world, which surrounds us continually, and also the wisdom of the occult, which we see emerging now and then. That power is our God, who is the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Alpha and the Omega, who holds all times and seasons under his control. And we saw how wonderfully he answered the prayer of those four men who got together to pray in the face of a threat of death by the hand of that tyrant Nebuchadnezzar. So we've lots of opportunities. Reading the word. I have read today in my prayer of a man who once a Bible was found in his house. He just disappeared from his village. That's a true story from Open Doors. But we can read the word freely. We can follow the sermon series. We can attend study groups. All of those things takes time. And each of us can make our own commitment. It's part of our everyday Christian discipleship. But for that time to come to life and bear fruit, we need to pray for grace to persevere and for the Holy Spirit to bring light and understanding. God does not expect us to do it on our own. He is there to help. And Jesus Christ promises that he as the great intercessor will be beside us, praying for our country and for our lives. So remembering Daniel and his call on his friends to pray and the intervention of God which followed, let us too at this time hear the call to pray to our God who is almighty, and the call to pray more extensively and deeply. For example, perhaps as we pray for our children or grandchildren, we could also pray for the other pupils and the teachers at that school. We may find our prayer developing as we pray for the government and issues concerning finance and the school curriculum under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Another area we might be called to pray for is our National Health Service. That needs our prayer, doesn't it? And our government needs wisdom about how to improve the situation. I'm sure most of us are involved with the health service in one way or another, and we all benefit from what they do to help us keep fit and healthy. You may know specific people working in that sector. You could begin by praying for those every day. There's so many things to pray for, and I know the Holy Spirit will guide us and reveal to us specific areas where God would like us to pray and develop our prayer and extend our prayer. So the picture I'm getting is of a growing and expanding network of prayer around our villages, out to our nation and beyond. We'll need wisdom from the Bible and from God himself to pray and pray aright in the coming year. But God's promise is he will give wisdom to those who ask. We face challenging times and we need his help, just as Daniel did. The babe of Bethlehem has done all that is required to redeem the world, rescuing us from the kingdom of darkness and bringing us into his true light. He asks us to receive what he has done. Remember the people in Jerusalem at the time of Herod? They knew it all and could quote the Bible, but it was the Gentile wise men who acted on what they heard, learnt, and saw, even though their understanding was imperfect. As I expect our understanding is imperfect about what's best for our country. But we can ask God, because God, in his mercy, guided them. And when they might have gone astray, he sent angelic messengers to warn them. So that opportunity is open to us of the new covenant, as we trust the light coming from Christ's redemption of the world. Watch the sign of the times, under the influence of what's written in the Bible, not the media. And pray to be wise like the Magi in our prayer life. May our prayer grow and strengthen in the coming decade under the anointing of the Anointed One, our Lord Jesus Christ, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. Amen.